Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
You're listening to Terry Wickstrom Outdoors, presented in part by Sun Enterprises, Colorado's largest ATV and motorcycle dealer.
You're listening to Austin Parr, hosting Terry Wickstrom Outdoors this week. And right now, we're going to head right to the phones, and we're going to talk with Brett Walker, who is a wildlife researcher with Colorado Parks and Wildlife. Brett, how are you doing this morning?
Oh, good. How are you doing this morning, Austin?
Doing excellent. So this is a really interesting topic we're going to talk about right now. And rather than going to a destination, we're going to talk about a specific animal species in the sage grouse. Why don't you talk about some of the new things that you guys are doing to monitor some of these populations of these really iconic Western birds?
Yeah, we've been working in a population in Western Colorado called the Parachute Peons Roan. It's an isolated peripheral population in the species range. There's some concern about it. So well, our interest has been to ensure that we're getting accurate and precise estimates of population size and trend, and looking at and coming up with research to figure out how well our standard LEC count monitoring tracks other methods.
Sure. So for folks that don't know, the sage grouse is an upland game bird species, and it's really affected by population decline with oil and gas development and overall sagebrush degradation. And they're very hard to estimate population, aren't they?
Yeah, the males congregate on what we call leks in the spring. These are basically breeding grounds where males come in and dance for females. But the females are very cryptic year-round. As any upland game hunter knows, the birds can often be very hard to find, and sometimes they'll flush right in front of you before you even see them. So estimating population size using just visual count surveys can be very difficult.
Yeah, and they camouflage absolutely amazingly well. And as you mentioned, as someone who's actually hunted these game bird species, that they're impossible to see really at much range at all. I mean, they'll drop right in and they'll disappear completely. So how does somebody who's researching these populations actually go about finding them and monitoring their population?
Yeah, state agencies in the Western U.S. and Canada, they monitor sage grouse populations by counting males that congregate and lek in the spring. But the problem is we don't know exactly what proportion of the male population actually attends lek and is counted. Males can often move between lek, or they may not show up on a lek on a given day that it's counted. We have a lot of concern about how accurate are lek counts in estimating population size and estimating population trend over time. So we wanted to do some research to test some other more rigorous methods that account for our inability to detect all of the birds, especially for females. There's really been very few estimates of population size for females for sage grouse. It almost all focuses on males.
Well, and if you can't find the females, you might not know how the overall population is going. So what you were telling me before is that you're actually utilizing genetics to be able to find some of this. Explain some of that to some of our listeners.
Yeah, we actually have we've tested two different new techniques for estimating population size in sage grouse. One of them is called dual frame lek surveys. But our most recent paper that came out, it uses what we call non-invasive genetic mark recapture. What that means is we use the genetic signatures of the animals to put that into mark recapture analysis to estimate detectability and population size. But the new thing about this is that we derive the genetic information from collecting their poop out in the field. The PhD student who did all the heavy lifting on this, Jessica Shivers, she spent two winters snowmobiling and surveying with her crews collecting poop in the winter, but then you can then pull genetic information from that from those samples that you get, and actually use the, it's essentially to using the DNA to come up with a genetic fingerprint of different individuals and looking at how many you catch and recapture on those samples over time. So you don't really need to even mark or handle any of the birds. You're just collecting their poop from the environment and using that to estimate population size.
Yeah, so not only are you being able to more accurately monitor the population size, but you're not having to physically capture any of these birds to actually look at their genetic makeup. It's fantastic all the way around.
Yeah, that's the non-invasive component of it. And it's been used with a lot of different species over the years. We were, this most recent paper is, it's really the first to show that this can be used successfully in a wild population, and that sampling in the winter reduces the amount of degradation of the genetic material, of the DNA, once it's left behind by the bird.
Sure, and it allows you to be able to actually go and find some of this rather than going and trying to find their breeding ground in the spring. So sage grouse, they breed in the springtime, and some of it's on private lands, and some of it's on inaccessible areas due to snow drifts, and maybe
exactly.
Some people are counting some of the same males twice. So, you know, this right here, I'm sure you're going to be utilizing this in the future to potentially influence hunting seasons and bag limits and all that kind of stuff as well, I imagine.
Yeah, the estimating population size and trend accurately is, it's really a fundamental part of what CPW, you know, Colorado Parks and Wildlife, does, because that population size and trend is the basis for all of our management decisions regarding harvest levels, regarding the need for habitat treatments, or for really small populations, even translocations or augmentations of that population. So we're trying to get at a very fundamental piece of what state wildlife agencies do.
Especially with these sage grouse that, you know, really are kind of a species that has been declining over the years, but with some of this conservation effort by not only Colorado, but through Wyoming and Montana and all different Western states, I'm sure that all this is, you know, we're hopefully going in the right direction with these guys.
Absolutely. Yeah. And actually we've been thrilled that we've been able to work cooperatively. I'm in the research group in Colorado Parks and Wildlife, but we work cooperatively with Colorado State University and the U.S. Geological Survey, and with funding from a lot of our energy industry partners, particularly in this population that we've been working on. Oil and gas is a big deal, and they're interested in making sure we can conserve and manage all the different wildlife species out there appropriately as oil and gas development also occurs.
Sure,
this
yeah.
is including mule deer and other species.
Yeah, because not only is this sagebrush critical for these sage grouse, obviously, but other species like pronghorn and mule deer especially, and various other bird species, all are relying on the same habitat.
Absolutely. Yeah, we've sagebrush is I joke around that, you know, I'm what you call an artemisiophile. I'm one of the people who love sagebrush and all the wildlife that use it.
Absolutely. Well, it's fantastic that you're doing this right here. And do you guys plan on potentially utilizing some of this same technique on some of these other populations, maybe a little bit stronger populations in Northwest Colorado or Middle Park or anything like that?
Yeah, we've actually been thinking about using that, particularly for smaller populations. It's a very expensive and time-consuming technique. And so we typically were only going to use it in areas where we really need absolutely accurate estimates of population
sure.
size to make those conservation and management decisions. In our larger, really healthy populations, it's less critical that you have exact estimates of population size, but it's the smaller isolated ones where there's a lot of interest in that.
Absolutely. Well, that's fantastic. And if someone has any additional interest in researching any of this, is there any different sites that they can go look at to potentially give them a little bit better understanding of a sage grouse?
Absolutely. Yeah, we've got all of the research that Colorado Parks and Wildlife does, all the published papers and things like that. If you go to the Colorado Parks and Wildlife homepage, and you can use the search bar and type in research, and it'll bring up bird research, so avian research, and then we have mammals research and aquatic research as well. So all the research that we do, we try and get that information online and available to the public through our website, or you can get it directly through the you know, you can do a Google Scholar search, and it's usually easy to find that way.
Oh, perfect. Brett, we certainly appreciate you guys doing all this stuff for Colorado wildlife species, and we appreciate you coming on and letting everyone know about it.
Thanks so much. We appreciate everybody's interest.
Absolutely, Brett. Once again, that was Brett Walker, who is a researcher with Colorado Parks and Wildlife, and you're listening to Austin Parr hosting for Terry Wickstrom on Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC. First
Bank. Banking for good.